There is definitely PTSD counseling available for something like that. But if you'd open up your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3, let's open the Word and begin with a moment of prayer. Dear Father God, we thank you for this moment. We thank you for these scriptures and this passage and the light that they are to our lives. Lord, we thank you how you continue to speak to us through something that was written thousands of years ago, that still remains true, that still remains whole, that still remains important and powerful for shaping our lives today. Lord, as we come before you this morning, we thank you for this moment and this opportunity. In your name we pray. Amen. This morning we're going to begin in verse 14 of Ephesians chapter 3. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all of the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. As we pull this passage from the book of Ephesians, we read a little bit into Paul's prayer for the church. Over the last number of months, as we've been exploring this series on worship, we've been looking at the ways in which we do worship, how we think about worship, how we feel in worship, and how we worship sometimes despite how we feel. This verse describes to us the transformative power that can be found through the work of Jesus. And as we've explored the fact that worship is a set of actions that we do, is a lifestyle that we live, is a mindset that we live in, we know that it's based on, in the most wholesome, heart-filled aspect of how we desire to follow Jesus within how we live. As we worship, we are seeking God. And as we seek God, we are then changed and transformed. I think this is the only place in the world that we can really find a true change for our hearts, a true uplifting, a true freedom, a true building, is in the presence of the Lord. That's why that New Testament story about the man who was paralyzed and whose friends took the roof off the building and lowered him in front of Jesus has always spoken so powerfully to me. Because they had a man who needed Jesus, so they did everything within their power to get him in front of Jesus. They did everything that they could, including disassembling a structure and interrupting a gathering, because there was something important, something powerful, something meaningful, and something worthy of being a part of at the feet of Jesus and at the presence of the Holy Spirit. This passage this morning speaks to us about what we know through that relationship with God and how we are shaped through that worship. Paul starts in this prayer by pointing out an interesting facet of Scripture, that this whole concept in verse 14 of family derives its name from kingdom purposes. That this concept of having a family, of having those who journey with you, who care about you, who love you unconditionally, it's a model that was designed for us from heaven itself. A model that God set out within Eden and within that relationship between Adam and Eve. When God made Adam, he sought to bring him a helper. Now, this helper was not someone to just make him sandwiches, but a helper for equity's sake. If you are designing an addition to your house, are you going to give your grandkids some Play-Doh and say, make me some blueprints? I need your help. Or are you going to seek someone whose gifts and abilities and knowledge far surpasses your own? Matt moved this past weekend. If he sent an email to Cyril and said, Cyril, will you come help me out? I guarantee you Cyril would have been there. But maybe having a bunch of 20-somethings would have been a little more helpful. But I bet you Cyril would still have more energy and heart and excitement for them than anyone else would. But when we seek for someone's help, we seek for someone who can give us something over and above what we may need or require on our own. And that's how this model of family was designed. Designed by the Creator and the Sustainer. That a family would include all who believed. Not just born into. Our faith is not one that you are born into and therefore you inherit. And those are the only ones who have the right to follow that faith. But it's a faith of adoption. A faith of choice. And a place where inclusivity is made possible through the work of Jesus. And it's in this family that it's important for us to know that God has a plan to strengthen us as believers. And to do this through the power of Jesus. The Lord has made us with a certain amount of potential that we have. With gifts and strengths, and on our own we may be capable. But through the work of the Holy Spirit can we accomplish more together than we could on our own. There is a way in which we can share in truth and in love and in passion and be so effective just out of maybe our own personality, our own character, our own enigmatic personality. But what the Lord has the ability to build into us will make us not only the best versions of ourselves, but it'll allow us to live up to the full potential of what He has designed for. I'm sure I've told you this story before. I got fired from a Christmas play at church by my own mother because I was too shy to publicly say a line of 5 words. It's pretty bad when your mom fires you. And here I find myself, 26-7 years later, standing in front of a room full of people, sharing in a piece of gentle confidence of what the Lord is saying. Fired because I couldn't speak in front of my friends and family, and what the Lord has built that into through a willingness and a choice to follow His leading. And I think each and every one of us could think in our own lives of stories like this, of changes that we've endured, of ways in which the Lord has sharpened us and made us more capable than we were on our own, and that comes through family and community that He has placed us into. And I think that same thing is true for us as a community, that He has a plan for a growth track for us as a church. He has a plan for us to have an identity as a body of believers that is stronger than the sum of our parts individually. To make us capable of an impact into this neighborhood and into the world that we live in a way that no one of us could accomplish on our own. And to start moving into that direction of the potential of what the Lord has designed for us. We need to worship the Lord in action, in choice, but also in willingness. And Paul speaks in verse 17 of exactly how we do that. We do that in faith through Jesus Christ. And I think a faith means not just a confidence in something that we don't see, but I believe a faith is an expectation based off information. That each one of us, when we go to a light switch, we don't sit there and wonder each and every time, oh, I wonder if it's going to turn on today. We turn it on with an expectation that the light will be there. I think when we go to the grocery store to get food, we don't go thinking, oh man, I hope there's something on the shelves. I mean, it might all be gone. We go with a sense of expecting that there will be a variety, which is a blessing because not everywhere in the world has that opportunity. But I think sometimes as we approach the Lord, whether it be in study and in prayer, we sometimes forget about that expectedness. We know what the Lord has promised us, and we know the knowledge that we have. But that doesn't translate always into a confidence or the expectation that something will happen out of what we seek the Lord to do. It's probably never in my life ever been exactly what I expected. But there's always been a response. And just like in verse 17, it identifies that we need to decide by faith. We know that sometimes faith will mean we don't have a full understanding of the big picture, or we won't necessarily be convinced that the outcome is predictable. I know sometimes it's about the fact that we don't feel like we want to do the right thing. But that's where, once again, that worship needs to be a choice to do the right thing despite how our nature of sin sometimes pulls us back. But we need to base our life, our trajectory, our purpose and goals by the direction that Jesus lays out for us. And Paul labels that very clearly in this passage as being rooted in love. The ability to live a life of faith, the ability to live a life of the full image of what Christ has designed for us, the ability to live in the fullest expectation and capacity of our spiritual gifts. It's not something we decide to do. It's not something that we get good enough and finally accomplish. It's whether or not we allow the Lord the space within our hearts, our minds, and our souls to give us that freedom. Because our own power is limited, but the power of the Lord is infinite. And each and every one of us, whether we do it consciously or subconsciously, in moments that we're more aware of it or less aware of it, we choose to be open to the working of Jesus. And to do that, we need to recognize that at no point can we ever think we have our faith entirely figured out. That at no point can we ever allow ourselves to get confident and complacent within our spiritual disciplines. The journey of a deepening relationship with the Lord is kind of like ascending a mountain that doesn't end. We may get to a plateau, and that plateau may be narrow enough for us to stand on, or it may be as wide as a valley. But it needs to constantly be moving forward and upward. Or imagine it once again as an ocean with just no bottom to it. The depth of the Lord knows no ends, and that love has been shared for us. Paul speaks to the church in Ephesus, just like it's true for us today, that we have power within the body of believers. That there is power in the community of those who follow faith in Jesus Christ. That there is an impact that can be made within a group of believers who join together despite the fact that they may not agree on every single reading of a verse, but they're aware of the impact and power and truth of what God has done and what that means for each and every one of us. And this is what it means to be made in the image of God, to understand the depths of God's love, to understand that there is a depth to the love of God. When we look at what the Lord made in that creation account, we are the only beings, men and women, who have the ability to know, to speak, and to receive from the Creator. The image of God is not just about having traits that reflect Him within either men or women. It's not just about having an intelligence that is unique among the creation. But it's about being able to receive and speak to the Lord. To be able to know that He has created and He has given. And to know that the love that He has, even if we don't always feel it, even if we don't always expect it, is a force that can transform our lives as individuals. When we look at Scripture, if you ask the question, what is the church supposed to be known by? It's not about giant facilities. It's not about numbers that are expanding uncontrollably. The church is known to be and meant to be known by and for the love that it has. When we look at the culture around us, what is church known for? Hypocrisy, brainwashing, blind immaturity, not having an ability to dialogue with anything that disagrees with it. But Jesus called us to live, to model, to be, and to show love for the world that is around us. Love does not require us to agree with. It requires us to accept. And we can accept those around us without agreeing with the decisions that they make or the lifestyles that they have. And it's that acceptance that is the first step of how we show love. The community that Christ has made is meant to be the physical presence of this love on the world. And I believe that once again, we as a body can operate at a greater impact together than separate. Because it's in those moments that we find ourselves leaning on each other for someone else's strength, to encourage us when we find ourselves falling behind. Just like Scripture says, neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, nor brother or sister. It is the people of the Lord with the power of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes when we allow ourselves to focus on the wrong priorities, not realizing or maybe sometimes even thinking that this is what the Lord wants us to do, we lose our saltiness. We find ourselves less impactful on the kingdom around us. And thus we always need to be coming back to the central questions of, Lord, what would you have us do? If the Lord gave you a role in building a house, it may be as a framing person, it may be as a painter, it may be as an interior designer, whatever your gifts may be. But the command is still, once again, that same, to be a part of building a home. And I believe as we seek to live and when we start to get loving in this capacity, that's when we start to see the impact in the community around us and amongst ourselves. I believe when we look at the churches in the early book of Acts, early sections of the book of Acts, when we see these huge blessings being outpouring, I believe it's because they were rooted in the right things of loving and caring for the neighborhood in which they were a part of. Whether that was the widows or the orphans or the poor or the sick or the needy. I think when we look around our community, it's a little harder to see what those needs are because we live in a place that literally we have everything. And a culture that tells you if you don't have everything, then just use your Visa card and then you can have everything. So the needs and the suffering that people have around us are so much more veiled than I think they were in the first century. And once again, if we live in this love will mean that it surpasses the knowledge that we have. And I believe that's what this balance of emotion versus action means. When love surpasses our knowledge, it means we will love in spite of how we sometimes feel. And sometimes surpassing what we think we should do within a scenario. And then it will be that we will be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And blessings will come by the gifts of the Spirit. I think this concept of Christianity is rooted within the word that causes a lot of people anxiety within churches. And that's change. But I believe that each and every one of us wants to change within the relationship that we have with the Lord. We want to come more of what the Lord had designed for us, more caring, compassionate, more effective within our skills and giftings. I'm not saying that all change that we experience is good, but I think even within what the Lord designed for man and woman to do in the garden in terms of that ruling, that naming, that subduing, I think that was a task that bred the essence of creativity, of newness. And I believe when we seek what the Lord wants for us, that's when our worship becomes honoring. And that's when the ministry that we have starts to change the lives of the people who come into an encounter with it and with the Lord. Because I think each and every one of us would agree, within any moment of our lives, we want more of Christ and less of ourselves. And it's not about erasing our sense of uniqueness or identity or our own person. But it's about the Lord allowing us to develop our skills to their strongest. To hear the words of the opportunities that he is making for us. And then to follow together in the same direction as a body of believers, unified by what Jesus has done for us in this way. As we've read through this passage in Ephesians, it gives us the insight of what the fruit of good worship looks like. The fruit being faith that is strong, community that is bonded, love that is gracious. And when we live out these characteristics within our body of believers, we are filled to the fullness of God. Have you ever wondered how you meet some people and they've got such an enigmatic personality that, and I'm sure we can all picture someone like this that we've met over the years, that people kind of gravitate towards them? That they're always the ones that people seek to want to spend time with. That they're always kind of the center of their social circles and then kind of the networking individual between them. I believe those people have a greater ability to express love within their lives, and I believe that love is attractional. Not in a sensationalistic kind of way, but I believe that genuine love breeds interest from the people around them. When Jesus lived and did his ministry, crowds of people would follow him. When he spoke, people would walk away from their entire cultural life around them to see. When he was places, people would do everything within their power to get into his presence. And it's not necessarily because he spoke to each and every one of them, but because love emanated from him in a way that was obvious. And it wasn't a fictitious one or a facial one. It was a genuine concern for the way in which people lived their lives. So I believe we as a body, as we continue to work together, will strive to put aside our differences. Because any group of three people will not agree on anything, let alone get 100 and 150 into a room, and that becomes all the more challenging. We'll seek to, in moments, realize that we're frustrated, but we need to let that go because it's only weighing ourselves down. When we go on family vacations as the big, larger clan, I get really annoyed, especially because a part of my job is organizing people to move from one place to another, whether it be through a passage or to Laser Quest or a retreat or whatever. And getting that many people in a room, especially those people, they don't like to move very quickly sometimes. And Megan once pulled me aside and goes, you know what, if you're the only one frustrated, it's probably not worth being frustrated about. Regardless of how right you are that somebody won't get into the car and is taking their sweet time. But how true is that? If we're the most upset person in a room about something, then it's either because that's what the Lord deeply cares about, or more likely, it's because we're responding a little too emotionally in a situation. I believe that this will mean as we live in this love and this faith and this community that we will be building together towards common goals. That we will seek to do a smaller number of things more effectively. And what those things are, we'll be able to have a great conversation of that together. And that everything we do will be filled with compassion, with grace, with forgiveness, and with trust. With each of the things that the Lord Jesus has freely given to you and me, despite how regularly we fall short of that. I feel as a body, as we seek to understand what it means to worship together, it's going to be less about what happens in this room and more about what happens with what we do outside of it as a body. And I believe as we seek within the Lord and what he's given for us, he will start to highlight within our hearts of how we can learn to worship as a body. As the team comes forward for our closing piece, let's spend a moment in prayer. Father God, there's a million changes we need to do within each and every one of our hearts. A million moments in which we have fallen short. And for some of us, even me, that might have been this morning. But God, I pray that you will continue just to lead us and allow us the moment to see with a moment of maturity and clarity what we need to do to follow you and to do it in a way that's honoring to you. Father God, as we come before you this morning, no matter how good we look on the outside, we come before you broken. We come before you in need of strengthening. And Lord, we ask that in this time, through your grace and power, we can be made new. that we will seek to give you our best as we worship. And we will know that that's within every moment of our day. In your name we pray. Amen.